everybody. Welcome to another episode of Case in Point, episode 63. I have a new headset. I'm not proud to say that, but I'm going to try this for this episode. And so at least two out of the three of us work at a fast food restaurant, and we'll ask you if you like fries with that. But anyway.
I do. I'm hungry.
Well, see, there. See, we have our first customer there, Mr. Poncherello. Nice shirt, by the way. He's wearing a Captain Adam. I wish. A Captain America shirt.
You know, I'm going to go on and try to find a Captain America shirt just for you, man.
You know, there's a lot to be said. There's a lot of really good custom shirts you can find on the internet. Like this Knight Rider one with the Knight Foundation symbol. That was one of those off the cuff.
Have you ever showed Punch the Knight Rider cup I made you?
Oh, I have to go get that. It's in the other room. I was actually washing it out so I could.
And speaking of t-shirts, don't you make some pretty cool, awesome t-shirts?
I do. There's two variations of the Case in Point podcast t-shirts. You can find those on tpublic.com. You push that in there, Gene Simmons style. Thank you, Kyle. Kyle is a salesman extraordinaire. He could sell a ketchup popsicle to a woman in white gloves, as I've always said. And he's a slicker that's not a doorknob. So that's from what my old seventh grade shop teacher used to say. So anywho, that being said, I'm gonna just jot down tell you guys a few bullet points here on some toy news kind of ish. So I in my travels out to Target, I found some 6-inch Jurassic Park figures, which is really neat because I've never really seen Jurassic Park figures at 6-inch. This is a Mattel line, and it's really neat because there's a Dennis Nedry that's out right now. And these are kind of a quasi-Ultimates setup where you have extra hands and, you know, extra heads. And he comes with a can of shaving cream, which is cool. And I didn't see him in stores, but I did find these are called the Amber Collection, okay? And they all come with limited accessories. And I found a Dr. Ian Malcolm, who was played by Jeff Goldblum. I always thought he was a neat character. And he comes with a flare, a glass of water, like probably from like when they're in the Jeeps in the first film. You got that T-Rex walking around and it does the water ripple, you know, and a walkie-talkie. Yeah, we got a walkie-talkie, you know. That was a horrible Jeff Goldblum impression.
Yeah, don't do it again.
Yeah, I won't. But yeah, so there's Dr. Ian Malcolm, and he's an expert in chaos theory, for those of you who really care to know that. Says it on the back of the box. So I got that one. These are a price point of $19.99, and I also have a poncho like this, John Raymond Arnold, who is played by Samuel Jackson, who cannot get Jurassic Park back online without Dennis Nedry, and so he's the head computer technician at Jurassic
Park. Is that an amputated arm it comes with?
Yes, so in the movie, in the first Jurassic Park film, that's he loses great. His arm because he was done in essentially by velociraptors that were, you clever girl. And he comes with a really a CRT monitor style computer. So, because that movie came out in 1990, so he's got a headset he comes with money. So
that's cool.
You automatically are a computer expert if you wear a headset at a computer. So.
Well, like the three of us are right now.
That's right.
Well, more like the one that Justin's wearing.
Though. All right, fine. I just have some headphones.
With the movable microphone?
Yeah. Well, this is... it's funny. I went through so many headsets with this freaking Apple computer, and it won't recognize this one that I don't remember the brand of. I paid like $50 for the freaking thing, and it doesn't do nothing. So, anyway, so I went and got this Logitech at my suggestion of my buddy Ben Stape, who you can hear us riff on my other show, Pod Rock Podcast. Episode 6 is out now, folks.
Man, plug city today, huh?
Yeah, that's how you do it. You slide it right in there. Put that shim in there, okay? So
yeah, I was gonna say before when you were showing the Jurassic Park figures, I remember, all right, what's the scientist's name? What's it? The dude from Seinfeld.
Dennis Nedry.
Yeah, him.
Yeah, he plays Newman on Seinfeld.
Yeah. Yeah, that guy. So I remember, I think a few years ago, there was a San Diego exclusive where you get Nedry as a figure, and the package is it looks like a kind of barbersaw.
Yep, yeah, and, I remember that, and that's what That's what reminded me. And I didn't know if that was a 6-inch or if that was a 3-3. I think if it's going to be a replica of a can of Barbasol, it'd have to be a 3-3, I would think. But it was really cool. I remember that. I thought that those figures were really nice. But you'll see that Pontius Stunt Double is on the back of the box. If you could... That is Ponch with short hair and a mustache.
Yeah, and years before my defining role as Mace Windu.
That's right.
Minus and, hair.
Right, and then you were also the monthly robber at the McDowell's establishment. Come on! Quit stalling me, fat boy!
Granted, it didn't pay much, but I had the most fun in that role.
That's great. Yeah, because if you guys listen to I think it might have been a second or third episode Ponch was ever on. You can go back and listen to that. And the thumbnail actually has that scene on there. He's got the toque. So, I think I called it, I think that episode's called Ponchathon or something like that. I that was when I was using names. It's like the Ponchathon. Like Comic-Con? PonchCon, I think is what I... But you can go check that out in the archive. So go on audioboom.com and you could find that, or any other fine streaming source for podcasts out there, folks. We're on Spotify, we're on Stitcher, we're on Apple Music. So just go check us out. We're on Twitter, we're on Facebook. Even though I don't like Facebook, the episodes will automatically post to Facebook from my main host. So check those out. And so at any rate, that being said, we're going to move forward with tonight's quasi-agenda, which is the toy news I was going to share with you. And so I went to Target on a hunch. I was actually looking for the Kronos Keldor 2-pack that was part of the Masters Origins line, which is a Target exclusive. I have not seen any of those yet, but I figured I'd take a stab at it because yesterday I went to one of the Targets. We've got two Targets here in my section of Washington State. And I did not find those, but I found a ton of elites. I mean, this one location was chock full of brand, like, inventory. I've never seen it before in my life, and I think I either hit it before the scalpers picked the bones, or I hit them just right when, like, all this stuff is finally starting, the distribution for toys and stuff is finally starting to get better. And so that was great. And so I picked up, there was three figures for the Defenders of the Earth line that NECA is putting out, which is taken from the 80s cartoon, 1986, I believe. And I absolutely love that cartoon. It's got a great soundtrack because they were using a lot of compressed electric guitars with chorus and stuff like they did on. It was what they would do is it was very typical in the 80s to use that for cartoons, like action-based cartoons. I was never into the, like, just the silly stuff, didn't care. These are great. And, of course, yes, there's Beetlejuice.
Nice.
I'll just put up a Beetlejuice. Is that a DVD or a Blu-ray?
It's DVD. It was the first version of DVDs that came out for the night. Nice. This is a 1989 Beetlejuice, which is one of my favorite 80s cartoons.
Back when they were doing cartoons of not kids' properties, and toy lines as well. But we'll get into that. And so, it was great. So I was able to find a Ming the Merciless, and I had the Phantom, which is great, and then, of course, Flash Gordon himself. And that's what's out right now, but then they're going to be supposedly it's Wave 1, and they're going to have another wave of figures out, supposedly, because you still have, and, you know, it's really bad because I don't have it with me where I can tell you what the illusionist name is. He's kind of like a Doctor Strange kind of rip. At any rate, those are neat toys. And I was stoked to see those because they command a high price on eBay, and I'm not going to feed the coffers of scalpers. So it was a win-win for the honest fan yesterday and today. So I picked those up, and I got what else they got out? I picked up some of the McFarlane Batman toys that are out. My brother is his Target doesn't really get a lot of stock right now. It's still kind of having some, I think, just logistical issues. But so I picked up some of those for him. And I got a Superman Doomsday 2-pack. And the Doomsday is a very heavy figure. It's like solid plastic. And I was able to get some of those. And also I picked up some of the $9.99 Bandai Dragon Ball Super model kits, which I think just turned out great for the price point. It's fantastic. And yeah, that kind of sums it up. I did pick up, I got a bunch of Black Series figures, the Star Wars, which if you go over to our Case in Point Instagram page, you could see all of that. I'm really throwing the radio host voice on tonight so that it projects and you people can really feel the conviction of which I say these words.
Kill Justin.
That's right. That's right. And so, did you guys see that thing? Well, I at least saw it. David Alan Greer was on Twitter, and he made an award himself. It was awesome. It was so great.
To be fair, I would do the same thing.
Yeah. He goes, it's an award to acknowledge his greatness that others have failed to notice or something like that. You see what it is, I guess. This is not toy related, but it did remind me of the kind of stuff I've been seeing just lately. And it's hilarious. And I was like, classic David Alan Greer. It's awesome. And anyway, let me just find it. And because there's been a lot of people that have been not happy with award shows lately and didn't expect to see that. Sheesh. Oh, my gosh. That is not what I expected. Don't put that in your search. Oh, my God. Well, we're going to drop that for now, folks. We're going to move on. That was not intentional. Anyway, so we're going to move forward. And so that's what I kind of been picking up. We do have the Spokane Inland Toy Show here in a couple weeks, and I will be getting some pics from that. That'll be interesting in the everyone will be masked. And or they probably got some kind of like, you know, protocol set up there, but it'll be the first toy show I've been able to go to in 2 years, so I'm pretty excited about it. And they usually have a lot of vintage stuff there, which I'm really excited about. In box, like the Dark Knight collection, my brother's looking for that. I'm gonna go see if they got that. They do have the comics. They do have a really high end, and they command a high price. And so I don't even take a bite out of that app because everything's graded now and slabbed and all that BS. So it's like, I'm zeroing in on the toys because that's really my expertise. I'm not a comics, you know, savant or anything by that nature. So, but yeah, so that's coming up. And I did pick up a Hasbro AI Iron Man, which is the 80s Iron Man suit. And the alternate head, well, actually comes with the full Iron Man head, but it also has an AI, like, translucent Tony Stark face. So it's like a projection, or which is interesting. I know nothing about AI Iron Man, nothing at all. I wanted it for the original 80s style Iron Man suit, like the early 80s, like when he's having all booze issues and stuff like that. So I thought that was cool. And I did pick up the Winter Soldier Falcon series of Hasbro Marvel Legends figures because that Baron Zemo is awesome. And also that Build-A-Figure for the Falcon, where the wings themselves are the Build-A-Figure for that line. And the Loki's on there, so it's all the versions of the people that are on the current Marvel Disney Plus outings that they're doing right now. And I thought it was great that they put a Loki in there in, like, that brown jacket that he's going to be in. And it's pretty – I really like – that technology, like, Hasbro has their version where they can do the real effects face. I think it's called, what is it called, guys? It's True Effects is what Mattel calls theirs. I don't know that Hasbro has a label for theirs, but they have the same technology. And so the action figures you're getting now from the Marvel Legends line are, like, exact sculpts of the person's face. And I just think that just really blows me away. For a $20 price point, you're able to get figures of that caliber. And you know, Ponch, you had shown me that you had earlier, but I think before we were recording, you had the Captain Phasma from the SH Figuarts line, which is awesome. And
yeah, it's really nice.
There's just, it's over the Marvel Legends line has just exploded, and I think they're in the category of Beanie Babies at this point. And I think they're cranking out so many characters, and they're just like Funko Pop. Oh, there we go. See, we got
speaking of Beanie Babies.
Yeah. Speaking of Beanie Babies,
I did have an experience of Beanie Babies when I was like 14, and my sister taking my brother and I to this. It was a flea market craft show thing, and they had a place called Cape Vincent, and this is when like spray on tan had just come, right? And so this is like in the mid-80s, and we circa 1996, something like that. And we get there, and the tents weren't open for the craft fair, because what they would do is they put tents around, like, or line the streets with these, and you'd have, like, whole blocks of nothing but people selling their crafts and their wares and, like, handmade stuff, because there's a lot of talented people up. Well, this one tent was a Beanie Baby tent, and this is the craze. It had been out for, like, 6 months. I kid you not. They opened the flap up on that tent. all these orange ladies ran into this Beanie Baby thing and were just like, oh, they were trampling each other to get these Beanie Babies out of there. I remember telling my brother, I said, I've never seen so much spray on tan in my life all at once. It looked like Oompa Loompas going in there.
You know, speaking of Beanie Babies too, because so actually back in the day during, you know, Y2K, right, when they were real popular, my parents actually used to own a Beanie Baby store in the mall. In Alaska.
Forgot about those.
Which is actually where the one I pulled up and you're showing you, which is funny because his birthday was yesterday, April 30th.
His birthday.
they stick their birthdays in the tags, which is this bin. So they're talking toys, which I thought was funny. They're going to probably mention some of the newer toys. I'm not as familiar at the moment, but I did crack open a box of toys I played with when I was in middle school, elementary, middle, and all the stuff I used to collect when KB Toys was around, including the 1996 little Luke Skywalker guy in a storm form. I was trying to see
Power of the Force.
Yeah.
I love those figures. I know that a lot of people don't like them, but I think they're fantastic because those play sets they came with. And you know what's really sad? I totally lost my notes that I had written down. I don't know where they are. It's terrible. I took all that time to write them down, and I don't know where to be found out. Oh, well, they went with the wind, I guess. Trying to be organized, and you see what happens, you know. Oh, that's some funny stuff. Yeah, so what I thought we'd do tonight is, and I talked to both you and Ponch, Kyle and Ponch, separately through text tonight, and I was going to kind of pick each of you in turn. What are some of the things that either if you go to a toy show or if you go into a store that, like, toy-wise or pop culture-wise, you gravitate towards? And either one of you guys go first. Kyle, go first.
Okay. Well, you know, I always go into the toy stores. I've actually used to work in the toy industry. I was actually working in the toy industry when I met Justin. I used to sell RC helicopters and stuff and sell all the treasure hunt Hot Wheels. When I go looking, because I'm always on the hunt for stuff, a lot of sci-fi or fantasy, I considered like Dragon Ball a little bit off to, you know, kind of in those category area, but Dragon Ball is more of the anime side of things. But I'm always on the hunt for interesting stuff. You know, I like to hunt for the Star Wars, Doctor Who, Ninja Turtles, any of that stuff. So most of the shops I'm going to are either pawn shops. Here in Arizona, we got a cool toy store. All they have is toys from anywhere from the 1950s through the 90s. They don't really have anything from the 2000s, so it's pretty cool.
It's okay with me.
Yeah, and like you know, so those are, you know, also I do like to hunt for superheroes because, you know, I always try to hunt for stuff that you guys are looking for. Like recently I noticed SH Figure Arts are starting to move their way back. So anytime I visit a GameStop or a Hastings or a Bookman's or any of those places, I'm always looking for the SH Figure Arts. And I've also been looking at the recently also to the WrestleMania characters too, trying to see if there are any good ones. But
very cool. You know,
Master Roshi. And I recently found Bardock, and as I grabbed it, I texted Justin going, oh man, found a Bardock, you know, this guy's hard to find on a shelf. And I go, but I realized he might have had one. I'm like, okay, well then I got to see if Ponch has got one, because if he doesn't, I got one here for like $49. I'm like, that's like the lowest, because like, what was Bardock online for? Nearly 100, wasn't he?
60, I think. $59.99.
I know a couple of them were gotten.
They might have been more than that, honestly. They might have been 79. It just depends on who you're with. Yes, he's not cheap.
And recently, I've been collecting Apex figures from the Battle Royale game Apex. That I didn't even know they made figures, so I ended up buying a few because I saw them and I thought they were pretty cool.
I know nothing about Apex, but they look really nice.
Do you know anything about Fortnite?
Yeah,
it's Fortnite, but a colorful Call of Duty version.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
That's the easiest way. Otherwise, like. The other toys I've been, that I've been finding, I've been looking through stuff like from 20 years ago. I don't know if this guy's 20 years ago. I think he's from 2000. Oh, cool. The
Batman Beyond.
Batman Beyond,
that's
who
it is. That's a nice figure. I like that.
That's the original Batman Beyond. And then I realized, you know, I wish some of the cartoons would have come out with some of these cool ones, like the flaming Batman. This one, like, it looks like a space tech one.
Oh, wow, that's cool. That translucent plastic is nice.
Oh, I love, yeah, my favorite translucent one is the blue one, which I figured
out. Oh, cool. That's cool.
When Batman fought Freeze, a special edition one. But now that I'm looking at it, it almost looks like
Batman looks green.
Batman. Well, it is been sitting in an attic in 120 degree weather for the last 13, 14 years. So like, I decided, because I got the new house, so I was able to open it up. And then I found, you know, toys that aren't even, you know, toys that were supposed to hit big at one point in time, but never did. At least in my family, they hit really huge. A War Planets, I think, which were pretty cool. They made
I remember those.
And they just lasted the 2-3 years at KB Toys, which, by the way, I now have the KB Toys register that I collected from Metro Center Mall. It is now working.
So nice.
That's
nice.
Awesome. Nice piece of toy history.
Yeah, I can actually now see their original inventory manifest that was on their register.
Wow.
The register had been on so long that the impression of the home screen of the register is the screen.
Nice.
Wow. That's awesome.
But I got it working, and so it's...
What year was the last entry on that? Do you recall?
Yeah, the last year on it was 2016.
Wow.
So I'm pretty sure what happened was that somebody had bought the store and kept it up on their own, just like the three last remaining Blockbusters in the U.S.
Or sure.
Because there's a total of, like, six Blockbuster stores still around, but the people, like, they have to go buy their own videos and DVDs, so they go to, like, Fry's and buy the DVDs to go put on their shelf.
Which is now closed.
But
Fry's defunct yet.
Yeah, they're going.
The one that's in Bend is no longer a Blockbuster anymore. It is a kind of a, I guess it's, they turned it into kind of a, not a bed and breakfast, but it's an outfit where they one side of it is the movie store, right? The other side is set up like someone's living room in the 80s or 90s. And you they got a couch set up. There's a TV there. It's all set up like it would be from even 15 years. And, yeah, I think it's great. And at some point, I'd like to dig into kind of some of the weird reality we live in when it comes to you know, people act like, well, that's ancient history. No, it's not. Take the air buds out of your ears and think about things for it's, you know, it's not like we're talking about 8-tracks or cassette tapes here. Jeez,
you know, it's you know, this stuff was, you know, collectible, and it's also, you know, and the stuff is actually surprisingly still, even though like this stuff here, the stuff that I have on my desk is 14, 15 years old, it's still very modern.
Yeah, exactly.
Like I was showing them, I got some Gundam Wing stuff.
Yeah.
Gundam Wing came out, I think, in 90, early 90s, I believe, is when the original...
Yeah, it depends on, like, when it aired, and I think it started airing in the U.S. on cable TV in the late 90s, 98, 99, somewhere, 97.
But, like, all that stuff, like this toy here, I see, it's still in production. You can go to Target or Walmart, and you can
buy the model kits and all that stuff, yeah.
And it's absolutely amazing. So it's like, even though it's old, it's still very, very modern. Exactly. And which is awesome.
Yeah, it's, you know, and it was funny you bring it up, because I was thinking about that earlier today. I was thinking about the properties that are still popular. Like, look at Pokemon. Kids love Pokemon. I have Pokemon cereal in my cabinet in the kitchen.
My brother saved all his cards. He would never let me play with his Pokemon cards. He made sure they were in mint condition. He goes, one day these will be worth something. And, you know, if you would have asked me 2 years ago anything about Pokemon, I thought it would have died off. And then I get this collector guy going in here going, the Charizard's worth $400. I'm like, geez.
Yeah, that was one of the most counterfeited cards. I used to work at a comic store in 20 years, and, well, it's 21 years ago at this point. And, I mean, Dragon Ball was there. Pokemon cards were there. The comic books that were coming out were still pretty, they still look amazing and modern, because they had like Ultimate Spider-Man, and it just, the list goes on and on. And the thing is, it's like, you're absolutely right. This stuff doesn't look old at all. It stopped aging. And even the art and stuff, I mean, if you pull a comic book from 1989, it's going to look like a 1989 comic book. But if you pull one from like 2000, 2001, it's not going to look that old at all. I mean, you know, and it's, they talk about artists that come back, and you got guys like John Byrne who are like, well, his stuff looks kind of dated. It's like, to me, no, it doesn't. It looks awesome. That's what it looks like. But anyway, that's a separate podcast.
There is the question, though, because since I am always, you know, it's actually great that you brought up these toy topics, because since I'm always on the hunt of toys,
right,
I really do want to know what Paunch is actually looking for.
Yeah. Yeah,
that way, when I find it, I can go, hey, Paunch, guess what? So, Paunch, please do tell me what toys you need to find.
To be honest, sometimes I don't even know myself.
It sounds like a therapy session. I don't know myself.
Yeah, honestly, well, I mean, I'll have my, like, the Dragon Ball Z figures I collect. That's always a given. Yeah, and also I usually go for some of the Bandai has these model kits that we might have talked about before in other episodes, where you can also get like Dragon Ball Z figures. I think the line is called Figure Rise. And then there's also you know, like the Gundam kits. I don't get, well, I have a few of them, but they can get like pretty giant, ornate, huge, and really complicated. So I don't go for those. I go for more of the I think the 1/144th scale and a few steps above that. But yeah, other than that, I mean, there's a store, again, I might have mentioned this a previous episode, but it's kind of like it's not quite like a pawn shop, but they buy stuff from people and then, you know, they sell it themselves. But it's pretty huge. It's got like a DVD and Blu-ray section, a video game section, electronic section, book section, a comic section, and of course like a toy section. And sometimes I just go with the mindset of you know, I'm a dog, I'm looking for a shiny ball. What's going to be the shiny ball I'm going to buy today? So recently I've bought anywhere from like wrestling figures, like I have a I recently bought a Jerry Lawler Elite figure, which is really cool. I bought another one. I don't remember what it is exactly, but I've bought that. I've bought some other random stuff. Well, I bought a He-Man from the retro line that I think it was released last year. A few of the 3¾ Marvel Universe figures. Actually, that's something I think actually, you know what? Here you go. If you see any Marvel Universe 3¾ inch figures, let me know about those, because there's like so many of them, and the price point for most of them are really, really low. So, and they're just really nice looking figures, especially when you have like the bigger guys like Thanos or Hulk, when they're to scale with that you know, that line. So, you know, it's just a cool series. Yeah, and also like anything video game related too. Like, I mean, I have Final Fantasy figures. I don't get them as much as I did years before, but if they look cool, I'll get them.
What generation? Because I have all sorts of generations of consoles here.
Honestly,
I was just showing them my so I have every, well, I was showing them my generations earlier of my Super Nintendo, then I got the regular Nintendo, and then I got the N64, the GameCube. I've got them up pretty much almost all the Nintendos except for Wii U. That's the only one I never got. But yeah, Final Fantasy, I have multiple copies of the original PlayStation versions. So as long as you want basically Final Fantasy, I think it's number 5 through 10. Nobody really wanted 10 anyway, but 5 through 9, I have spare copies of.
I liked 10.
Yeah, it was unfortunately the lowest performing of the Final Fantasy series, where they had to make a 10-2 come out. And then 11 didn't, you know, 11 wasn't ever talked much. 12 was the first one that actually came out where the people would actually talk in the video game. Came out on PS2, and the
character. That was a great one.
That was the very first one that I actually, I mean, Final Fantasy 7, I did it, but I did it in steps, because it was a game that you definitely had to think on. Final Fantasy 12, due to the talking interactions, I was so excited because I didn't have to read the little words on the screen and have to click next. I actually sat there the day I bought it and played it all the way through in like the very first, like the first 2 days.
You know, it's funny because while we're on the topic of maybe video games or just things, if we go to a video game store and let's say we're out of town and we're still like for example, I could tell you when I would go back in like the early 2000s, you could get a lot of video games for cheap because they really considered vintage, right? Because you're only talking from like 93 to 2003. I mean, it's really not. They're still pretty kind of easy to find and everything. And when I would go to Seattle, because I only lived here about a year, I'd go to Seattle and they would have these stores, these Funko stores. And they were called Funko, and it's Funco, not Funko, right? And you could go and get pre-owned games, and they come in these like cardboard sleeves that would just cover the part with the actual data chip, you know, to kind of keep the dirt out of it. But I would hit up those kind of stores, and I would hit up toy stores and things like that. But it got to the point to where even if you went to like a major metropolitan area, unless you could really find a store where they would sell hard-to-find things or imports, whether it would be music or video games, movies, I really didn't. It got to the point to where I was like, well, I can get any of this stuff or whatever. But for a while there, you had this. It's like such a great opportunity to go to Spokane or Seattle or Portland or someplace where it was. They had stuff that you could not readily get elsewhere unless you like search for it on eBay. And really, that was when eBay was a big yard sale anyway. It was a lot of fun. And now it's full retail. And so now it's like when I go look for things, like if I go to a Target, I go to the toy section. That's like right off the bat, always. That has been a Case Boy policy for the last 4 years. Just bar none. That's just the way it is. And
when he was born, he came out with the friggin' toy section in the newspaper.
That's right. You know it. Like it's full color circular.
Go to Target now and get your $49.99 toy 20% off.
Yeah.
Having a baby.
Yeah. And it was like, that was the thing is, I would always gravitate towards things I couldn't normally get. And like else, like if I was at home, like sometimes you go to like Syracuse, I never ever got to go to Russ. Never did. I was always vetoed. And it will haunt me for the rest of my days. But that's okay, because I've been into plenty of other Toruses and KBs. I could always go to KBs because of the Sam Run Mall, and the Sam Run Mall was awesome. So, yeah, I mean, I would gravitate towards... Now it's like, I don't know if Wicks and Sticks is still in there, but now it's that mall, from what I understand, is... I mean, I haven't been in that mall in 6 years, but, you know, it's just a bunch of crap. It's like, I don't know.
That sounds about Sticks. Right.
Yeah, you know. Speaking of that, so I used to run a company called Toy Mart and Extreme RC. We used to be in every mall here in Arizona, and you know, I go to the malls these, you know, today, and there's no toy stores really. They're all gone. The most exciting one we've recently got is a company called Box Lunch, who sells a bunch of anime or Dragon Ball.
Oh, I've heard of them.
Yeah,
I have.
And
I think Ponch brought him up once about him, so now I hear from both of you guys.
So I walk, you know, I go in the malls and I'm like, man, I used to spend every day here, you know, all the way from, you know, Washington to Arizona. You know, it used to be like the coolest thing. I loved my job going, I mean, literally just playing with toys all day long. And I loved it. I got Justin his first helicopter.
Still have it. The Chinook, I crashed it, and then I got scared and put it back in the box to like get my skills up.
I don't know why. I don't think I ever gave you the Airwolf helicopter. I know I had one, and I crashed it, too. Went down just like the real one, unfortunately.
Oh, that was bad. Was it thunder and lightning?
It felt that way.
Yeah.
If nobody knows, the unfortunate fate of the real Airwolf helicopter was not lightning proofed yet before it took its final rescue mission flight. I go in there. I love seeing what new toys come out, everything. And you can't go to the malls anymore. You have to go find a specialty store. The malls don't have it unless they got Box Lunch. Now Box Lunch is great, but you're going to be paying full price for those toys. And just like when I show Justin a box of, you know, I take pictures and send these guys, you know, picture of toys all the time. And like I sent Justin a picture of a Star Wars pack and goes, that must be Disney. I'm like, you can tell just by the box. Cause I like have the Disney logo off of it. And he's like, yep. Tell the quality immediately. And it's like the same thing. Box Lunch, you get, you get these limited production of what they want to be able to put on their shelf and profit off of versus, hey, let's make a decent product, put it out to Target, Walmart, all these other companies. And I'm pretty sure that most of their, and it also feels like even in Walmart and Target, now it could be that I'm just getting older, but it feels like their toy sections are getting smaller and smaller and smaller.
It depends on the store. It really does. And it's also, it has a lot to do, the toy, like the section of a store in general for any toy map, any planogram or whatever you want to call it, is very small. It's a very small percentage of the sales. Because most, let's be honest, most people go to Walmart or a store or something, and they're going to go there to get essentials. And toys do not fall in that category.
Unless you're Justin.
Want to think that. It's like that guy from Big School. No, I know you want to believe that. Put it anyway. Professor Sturgeson. Anyway, Sam Kinison, folks, God rest his soul. I know it's a popular opinion. You know, people want to believe that. Get off on this thing, buddy. But yeah, I mean, it's a very small piece of the pie. And it, depending on, like, for example, I could tell you that there's three Walmarts here where I live, okay? One of them used to be the mecca of toys. Now it's the mecca of picked over crap, okay? And if you want to get some of the cheapest, flimsiest, full-price garbage, well, they're the one closest to me is pretty much that. It used to be the king of the mountain as far as toys. And so they got, and then there's another one where the store is just, it's a newer store and it's a bigger store. And they'll have, instead of having just maybe three aisles of toys, they've got six aisles of toys. And but within that, they carry more product per SKU. And so that makes a big difference. That's where they had a lot of the G.I. Joe classified series. They had the retro 3 3/4 inch that came out. And this was, you know, last summer or starting to get into the fall, those things started popping up. Like, I picked up a Cobra Hiss 2 in the box because it was exact reissue or close.
Nice.
The Ghostbusters had come out. And as a matter of fact, I could probably get a Cobra Hiss 2. Like, there's a bunch of them. They just, some stores, they clog the pegs or clog the shelves. And even though it's a great toy, but, you know, there's only so many of us kids from the 80s that want those. Kids now don't care. And, you know, but then again, you go to one of the other stores here, and they will always have a copious amount of Marvel Legends or WWE Basic and Elite figures. And so, I mean, it just really depends on what the store itself actually sells and what they feel they can make some money off. And I can tell you, it definitely is not toys. And it's so bad now with scalpers. I mean, so what I did was, and this probably was something I probably should have put in the more of the toy news segment. I went to a Walmart here locally that historically would carry more of a certain toy line. And so I went on the website and it said in stock, right? So I went to go check it out. And obviously was not on the pegs, but I said, you know what, it's on your website. So I went and I found a guy, and I could just tell from the way the guy was going about his business, one of the employees there, the pretty smart guy, really, he was definitely in command of what his duties were at the store. So I go, hey, how you doing, pal? You know, I always make them feel welcome when they talk to me, because you're going to get more willingness, some help out of someone if you're diplomatic, instead of just, hey, buddy, you know, it's like, no. I'm like, hey, how you doing, man? So they have apps on their phone that they use for work. And what he did was he said, see, okay, well, what it says on the website, that's an error, and I'll go get that fixed, is what he said. And he said that, so, like, with the WWE Masters of the Universe figure, there's four figures per case. Well, if there's four cases going to the local warehouse, they will send one case to each store, in this case, three stores, and there's only going to be a max of four figures per store. And he says, come back next week. They stock the shelves on Tuesday nights, so come back Wednesday morning. It's going to be your best chance to get something like this. And I guarantee you, and there's also a website you can go that it's not 100% accurate, but you can go and look up any type of SKU number and know if it's in stock yet. And that's what a lot of these scalpers use, is they go to a website which has those numbers and will go and pull and just go swarm the place and just take them and then to flip them on eBay. And, you know, my brother made me hip to this. And, you know, he's one of the he's like my eyes and ears for the East Coast chapter, you know, of our toy collecting hobbies. It's great. And so, but yeah, it made a lot of sense. And these guys will just go in there, and there's even employees that will just, I find toys that are hit, like they hide them. I'll pull them out of the hiding spot and put them back on the shelf. not on my watch.
I used to take the Hot Wheels. I would always get the treasure hunters. And so as soon as they told me how to identify them, anytime we opened up a new box, we'd pull the treasure hunts out.
Yes, they never make it to the shelf.
No, yeah. We'd, as soon as they told us about it, I would pull them out and person come through and go, "Hey, you looking for a treasure hunt? It was $6.99."
Like scoping them on site.
So when your owner's from Turkey and he learns a new method of how to make more money, he's gonna go, "Hey." You know, and those guys always, they used to have to look physically. Now they use bots that just go to websites. Yeah. I mean, it's like, I asked a friend, he's a big TikToker, you know, does TikToks. And I asked him, how did you get 3 PS5s? And he's like, bots, put a bot on a website.
Yeah, so you're screwed. It's like freaking cyber. It's like Skynet went live, you know, and it's like you're screwed if you're going to get anything, you know. Yeah. And it's like those Mr. T, those Mattel WWE, the Mr. T WrestleMania figures where he's in like the cloth camo gear and he's got the chains and all that stuff. Mattel had put those on Instagram, which I, to my knowledge, which may be limited in such things because I don't really like social media there. They decided to sell them through Instagram. Those things were gone. I told my wife, I said, you know what? She goes, I couldn't even get my card number in there, you know, because we were still working from home because of COVID and stuff. But we could, if something came on, we're like, oh, we'll just go order right now. We're here, right? And it was like, it sold out in like maybe 2 minutes. And it's even worse than when Maddie Collector was on there and they set up like a CAPTCHA thing and all that stuff. Like if you wanted to go get like a Moss Man variant, or they would do, it's before they had the subscriptions, you had to log into that site and you would be checking out, putting in your credit card information. And then it says, we're sorry, an error occurred. And the website, the Maddie Collector site, would be totally deadlocked and you're screwed. There was an error processing your order and you're like, no, I wanted that Battle Cat and Trap Jaw, you know. And yeah, so then your next thing was, oh, eBay, okay. And I bought some figures on there, a Titus, a Faker, and let's see what else. There's a few of them on there I had to get because it was before the subscription service had started. And so that's the thing. Oh, and also the San Diego Comic-Con or the New York City Comic-Con figures, those are non-sub. Yeah, I had to buy those on eBay. Like Spirit of Grayskull, Spirit of Hordak. I bought King Grayskull on there, which was a SDCC. It was a standard color edition, which the box would open up and the lightning and stuff would shine in there. It's really cool. It's an awesome, awesome package. So anyway, yeah, that's, I'm digressing here. You kind of get what I mean. You know, it's even worse now. We thought it was bad circa 2009, 2010. It's terrible now. And I told my brother, I said, I'm getting sick of this. I said, I'm ready just to hang it up. If I can go in the store and get it, great, but I will absolutely not fund the Ferengi Gold Press Latinum of scalping with these toys. It's ridiculous. Save them for the fans.
Yeah, the whole bot thing, I've talked about before when I was building the computer I have now, it's horrendous, man. I mean, yeah. It's to the point where say the video card that I originally bought wasn't the one I initially wanted, but you know, because of, you know, shortages of, you know, chips and stuff, you know, and then also there's some other issues too as far as like the GPU manufacturers, they didn't do a really good job of having enough supply when they first had them on sale, and then it was just a constant shortage from the get-go. But like the whole bot scene is unreal. Like it got to the point where I would on Twitter I would follow not bots, but they blast announcements when this drop is going on, try to get it. And dude, like the second they post they tweet something about it, that second's already sold out. So by the time you actually go to the link to check to see if there's any left, they're all gone. And it's like you have to like join them in order to buy them. Unfortunately, it sucks.
You've got to sign up. You got to like join Skynet to get your.
At this point, yeah, but I mean,
you join the Borg collective, you have to become a drone and be connected to the hive mind.
And that's exactly how it feels too. You know, you will be assimilated. It's like you have no choice. No matter what you do, it adapts.
Well, it's definitely a pay-to-play setup, and it's terrible.
I got lucky with I got a graphics card too. I was on the Best Buy website and I was buying my graphics card, and then I was going to pay for it, and then it goes, "Oops, something went wrong."
Yeah, exactly.
And then it refreshed me back to the page and it said sold out, and I'm like, I lost my mind. And so I kept clicking refresh. Yeah. And then it took me back to my payment screen and I clicked submit. And I'm like, oh no, I don't even know if it took my money. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to get it. Luckily, 2 weeks later, they gave me a call saying, yes, I was getting it. But I was so scared because these items were just, you can't, like, I was going to build a PC, you know, the graphics cards, you know, I ended up just buying an MSI, but, you know, I have another graphics card for, you know, when I do other, you know, game streaming and stuff like that. But it's like, you cannot get the parts. They're just, they hit those things. And then you got to go on, you got to like become an investigator, go on Reddit and find out when they're doing their drops, just like he was mentioning. And then you got to go, it goes, all right, well, we're going to give you the information, but you must subscribe for $7.99 a month.
Yeah, and that's the thing. That's why a lot of people are selling on Instagram. Like, private individuals are selling on Instagram and making stuff. And I could tell you, I've been finding some great stuff going through other means of online commerce. And I there's a lot of stuff that I like that nobody cares about. For example, I just bought for $8 shipped. It was a Star Trek 3 movie poster collection. Nobody wants that, but I do. And so I'm able to get stuff for cheap. And then I through Facebook Marketplace, I got a Star Trek The Motion Picture pop-up bridge, and you can actually assemble the bridge. It's got, like, that really thick cardstock paper, and you could actually make the bridge from the Enterprise A, which is awesome. They're, like, I should say the refit, you know. And then I've been buying Star Trek novels on there and reading those, like, original cast, right? And I've been loving those. Man, the writing is so good in those. And my brother and I are talking about how great the artwork is on the novels themselves. Like, they'd always have such awesome artwork on those. And it's just great because, like, all these books are, like, the coolest episodes you'll never get to see on TV. I read the books with the characters' voices and everything. You know, it's so cool. You know, characters passed on and a lot of the actors that passed on, it's like, when you read these books, it's like, man, my passion for Star Trek has come back again because I'm able to go read these books and all the storyline is there. And there's so many books to... So it's like my experience of Star Trek is like started afresh. You know, it's so cool. I love paperbacks. And they don't require batteries, people, or a USB cable or mobile plan. Thank you very much. They
still Justin.
They still dig holes with shovels. I got great. Anyway.
Oh goodness.
Yeah. Hey, I was, you know, now you're bugging me with that. Okay, Kyle, with the polo shirt you got, are they in any relation to the Steiner brothers from WCW fame, like Rick and Scott Steiner?
Yeah, you know, I wish.
I've got a great business opportunity right now. I just popped into my head. They sell furniture. You guys could make this. You guys could be awesome with this product. It could be called the Steiner recliner.
I have that.
I'm gonna hang up, man.
It's funny because I was thinking the Steiner recliner because it's got the that was one of their finishing moves from 90s wrestling.
I thought you were gonna talk about my facial expressions I was making while I was looking at my other computer monitor.
I was kind of curious, but I didn't want to like protract it.
Well. So as I've mentioned before, I'm always on the hunt for Lando Calrissian.
Oh no!
I'm always on the hunt for one. Anytime I go into anytime I go into some of those shops, that's like one of the first things I look for. If I see a Star Wars collection anywhere, I'm looking through it. Now the hard part is I've gotten Justin so many Lando Calrissians, hard to distinguish which ones I haven't got them.
Right.
I decided to go, While we're talking about toys, why don't I see how many actual Lando Calrissian figures there actually are? I just realized some of these action figures go all the way up to $600.
Oh my gosh.
And I'm like, well, I go, wasn't Lando not one of the most popular guys in the Star Wars franchise?
Well, he's like Boba Fett, though. He's like, he's got a cult following as far as popularity, just like Boba Fett does. And I'm one of those people, okay? Because freaking Lando is awesome. He's great.
Being a salesman, I am required to like another salesman like him, at least with the skill sets he had.
Right.
Just not his poor gambling skills.
Yes. There would be no Sabacc for you, Kyle. Or Dejarik, for that matter.
But the abilities to, even when you lose, to always come out thinking, I won. You know, like, he never once thought he lost the Millennium Falcon, even though he lost it. What's the thing he says to Han immediately? How are you keeping my ship? How's my ship doing? It's always.
What'd you do to my ship?
Yeah.
Hey, you lost it to me fair and square.
Exactly. But he always goes, it's mine.
Yeah.
After watching
the Han Solo film, which is a fantastic film, you understand where that's coming at this point.
Which I honestly don't know why that show, the movie, flopped. I loved it.
Because people are stupid.
Because it
they are. They're idiots.
That Solo movie went back to the original style of how the original three were made, which was more on the serious side of things than the corny jokes of, you know. Yeah,
that movie was like 10 times better than like freaking episode 7, 8, and 9. Sorry.
Well, and it's the same thing with The Mandalorian. Mandalorian did the same thing. They're more on the serious aspect instead of the joke. Now, there are some funny jokes in there, like when he, like the little baby Yoda or Grogu grabs the little eggs out of the lady's thing and he starts eating them.
Yeah, you're right.
So I mean, they still have comedy in there, but it's still more serious on the serious line of things.
It's appropriate for the storyline, yes.
And now I'm always Star Wars toys and everything like that. I always got to hunt for. I still hunt for stuff, you know, especially Star Wars memorabilia and everything. The Disney store was actually, you know, before they closed, They give out a bunch of Star Wars memorabilia. That's
awesome.
They just dumped everything they could when they. I don't know if your guys' states still have Disney stores, but like we have like one Disney store left in our state. They just closed it down. Even though they were doing phenomenal. They were doing phenomenal.
Yeah, business.
They're just like, we're gonna go online now because that's where most of the market is. Nobody's leaving their homes, and it's a real shame because pictures are amazing. They look so good. Then you get your item and you're like, got it from wish.com. Darn it.
Hokey, I'm still going to order. I'm still going to go get my Fruit of the Looms in person.
Right.
Thank you very much.
you can't trust some of the websites because, A, they take the pictures from official advertisements. They take the pictures and that's what they post. And then you get the thing that looks like Han Solo's face was melted, and then you go, it's Han Solo, you know, it's like, they're like, you know, they go, it's an aftermarket thing, it's not, you know, and you realize you bought this thing online, and you thought you were getting the real deal, and, you know, so that's why I prefer to shop in person unless I have no other way other than to buy online, which is a shame. That's like my Apex figures I bought, I noticed Target is no longer carrying the line. So whatever's at Target. Now, Target has a nice, cool little system that they'll tell you, right? They'll give you a categories list down saying which store and how many, which is pretty cool because I went around all around Phoenix buying them up.
Oh, wow. Yeah, you were like I was with the Happy Meal toys when they had Dippin' Dots at McDonald's. They had those He-Man 2000X Happy Meal toys. Oh, I need a battle cat with a rocket launcher on the back. And it's like, they're for the kids. I had no shame, though. I didn't care.
Well, it's like currently, too,
I bought a value meal from me. Jeez.
They're going through the drive-thru. I'd like to buy 20 Happy Meals. You can keep the meals. I just want the Pokemon cards.
Nice.
I watched so many videos of that.
It's funny, yeah.
Yeah, I remember reading about earlier this year that they had that, it was like the 30th anniversary of Pokemon or something like that. And they had, in Happy Meals, they put, I think, a blind pack of four cards, and of course you have the like grown dudes going to
yes.
McDonald's, And what's kind of dirty is that instead of buying the Happy Meals and then, you know, sifting out the cards from that, instead they would ask to buy like an entire case of the packs before they even enter into the Happy Meals. And for a while, some of the McDonald's workers, they're like, oh, whatever, more money, it doesn't matter. So they would sell the entire cases, and that just brought like the prices to all those cards on like to an absurd amount on eBay and stuff. And then
yeah, you know, it takes the fun out of everything. And let's be honest, these people are delusional because they think they're going to get rich off this stuff. Are you kidding me? And well, after the 15% eBay fee plus all the shipping and everything, you're not making much money off this stuff. If you make $50, that's not going to let you retire.
Well, it's also like, you know, it's now McDonald's has put stuff out there that has, you know, increased in value, but with those type of Pokemon cards, those aren't going to be the ones worth, you know, $50, $60, $300, $400 10 years from now. They're not. So I don't know why people, you know, the booster packs that they have at Target, Walmart. Now those are, which I do like how they had to put an employee in place to say, you know, to go only one pack. Don't take more.
Actually, there's a chain of stores, and you remember these, Kyle, Fred Meyer, right? Up here in the Northwest. They're owned by Kroger, right? Mm-hmm. Which is based out of the old Kenner Toys building, by the way, just a little trivia. And so it's interesting because they had a Pokemon vending machine like you'd see in, I think it looks like something you'd see in Japan. It was all lit up, and it had a huge window, and they had all the different tiers and different lines of Pokemon starter packs and booster packs in there. They had the tins. They had the ball, like the what do you call it, the Pokeballs. They had sets in there. They had all these different types of card containers to buy from. And then, like, when COVID hit, they shut the thing down. And then now they totally took it out. It was just gone. It's all so bummed. But I do have a really cool picture from that, from when my son and I were selecting cards out of that machine. Actually, my wife took it. And so it was cool. We kind of have like kind of that snapshot in history, that really cool Pokemon vending machine. I thought it was neat. And I'm a dullard. I don't know anything about it. I tried to learn it. It's over my head.
You know, speaking of that, I remember playing it with my brother and my sister. I don't even remember the rules of it. I played more Magic the Gathering and Yu-Gi-Oh, which I don't even remember how Yu-Gi-Oh is played. I found a box, you know, I opened this box up 20 years ago. I found, you know, Yu-Gi-Oh cards that would probably be worth money that I always thought like was going to be worth a lot of money eventually. And nope. I think the most
least of all Digimon.
Well, and I loved Digimon.
They have their place.
I looked at it. The most expensive card I had was worth $40. I'll say Magic the Gathering has been the place where I have gained the most valuable cards out of any type of hobby trading card game thing, because I went to a tournament and a draft tournament, and I pulled like a $300 card, and wow. I was like blown away. But that $300 card was like the most useless card you could get. I'm like, how is this worth $300? And they're like, oh, because if you put it with this card, you just win the game. And I'm like, that's why I've always liked Magic, is because it's strategy. It takes time and you have to constantly think. And like some of the other games, it's like, that's why, you know, I used to play Yu-Gi-Oh, but you could just literally go and buy the best deck. You could go, you know, same thing with kind of like Pokemon. You can just go buy the best deck. But with Magic, you had to strategize. You had to think. And then they also leave a lot of things up to interpretation. So you get to use your imagination. So that's... That's always what I, you know, as card game wise, I was always a huge collector of that. But the nice thing about Magic the Gathering, you don't ever see their shelves emptied either.
Now, they're still owned by Wizards of the Coast, right?
I believe so.
There used to be, and I don't know if it's still there or not, but over in Seattle, or on the west side of the Washington State, they had a Wizards of the Coast building. Like, they're based over in Seattle area. And they had, like, they used to have Pokemon camps. They'd have camps where you could go to, like, some kind of, like, summer thing for kids and learn how to be, like, I think it was a master Pokemon player or something. They'd have, like, Wizards of the Coast camps. And I knew a lady, I used to work with a lady that like, she would get her son a bunch of poker cards, and he's like, I want to go to Wizards of the Coast. She took him to Wizards of the Coast, and she gave me all his Pokemon cards, a huge box, and I bet you there was a ton of rare stuff in there, but I don't know, because I'm just, there was a lot of white-bordered Magic cards in there and stuff, and all that, but he had, like, this Book of the Dead mini binder with a bunch of cards in it, and he had all these cards of protectors and stuff, and like, I didn't want them. I really didn't want them, and she's like, you just take these. I don't want them. I have no use for them. My son's grown up. He's living in Atlanta or whatever, like on the other side of the country. And so I was like, there's this guy, another guy I knew at work. I had these in my garage for like 4 years. And I said, hey, I got these cards. Are you interested in them? He's like, oh, yeah, yeah. It's like, I guarantee. And I sold him those to him for $20. And I'm trying to remember. He said, I'll give you $20 for the box. And I know for a fact there's probably some good stuff in there because this kid had expansion pack after expansion pack. His mom bought him whatever he wanted, and these are from like the mid-2000s. And the guy had not looked through them at all. I said, just take them. And he gave me $20. And I gave the lady the $20, even though she just gave him to freely. I said, no, any money I get from this is going back to you because you're just clearing it out of your... And so I did the right thing. But the thing is that there were so many cards in there, I did not want to leaf through all those and price them. I don't care. I have better things to do. And if that guy wants to go and say we're pulled the wool over his eyes, I'll never know because he never had a chance to look through them either. I'm just saying that I didn't see a lot of black-bordered cards in there. What little I know of Magic cards is that the white ones are commons and the black-bordered ones are less common. But I can also tell you that there's a lot of Magic cards that aren't worth diddly squat. They have to be very special. And that's all I know about Magic cards. I have no desire to play it. I don't have a trench coat, you know, and I bathe, okay? No, I don't know. I'm just making... I do bathe. I'm not making the fact up that I bathe. I'm just saying, I don't know. Okay, let me tell you the genesis of that. I used to work at a comic store, and there was this guy that would come in, and normally you'd have kids coming and buying Pokemon cards and that kind of stuff, Digimon, and we would host Pokemon events, okay? And there was this guy that would come in, and he graduated from high school with me. So at this point, he's 20 years old. He's playing cards against all these kids that are like 6, 10 years old. And he would say horrible things to these kids. Like, I won't even repeat it. It's just not right. And so he duped this kid out of his Charizard. And it was one of the ones with the holographics background and all that stuff. And the kid was crying and everything. He's like, fair and square, like that. And so he would always wear a trench coat in the middle of the summer. And I'm just like, you know, I don't think we should be hosting these anymore. So I told the owner, I said, hey, listen, this guy's going in here. He's screwing these kids over. It ain't right. He's a grown, you know, 20, 21 year old kid. And he's going up against 8-year-olds and taking all their cards. And he's like, well, I'm not going to stop it because they buy a lot of cards, blah, blah, blah. And so what he did is he took and put the table out in the hallway where an old Woolworth used to be, or downstairs of where the old Woolworth used to be, Watertown. And he says, it's not my problem. I set tables and chairs up there. They're responsible for their own actions and whatever. And it's always, I'm always reminded of that guy with the trench coat. He's just, those are the kind of people I think of when I think of Magic cards or Pokemon, like that are like, you guys mentioned it before when he's like, where the guy would come in and buy the whole case or it was like, it's those kind of people. It's like, come on, save some for the kids, would you? You know? I mean, you didn't see guys going into, like, a Toys R Us or a KB Toys and buying, like, all of the... We didn't have scalpers back then. This is terrible.
No, they were always selling watches out of their trench coat back then.
Yeah, right? Like, it's a quartz, you know, or Timex. I don't know.
Hey, kid, you want a Pikachu? Look, I got holographic Pikachus, and I got them artistry Pikachus.
Yeah, now the gold watch has taken the Pokemon's have taken place of the gold watch. Hey, kid, you want to get your dad something for Father's Day, huh?
Oh my goodness, that's creepy, man.
Check it out. It's one of those like dot matrix printed or whatever, those laser jet printed out fake holographics thing, and now this kid's gonna give it to his dad thinking it's real, and the dad'd be like, I don't have the heart to tell him this thing was printed out on laser jet printer or something. But it was like that, and that was one of the things we had to look out for when I worked at the comic store. Like, I got schooled on it. He's like, okay, this is one of the fakes. Okay, he had like exhibit A. Now here's a real one. I put the two side by side, and it was like, yeah, you couldn't even tell the difference. except it was like a different, slightly different type of material, the holographics, and the cards were like too good. They looked too good. They even looked better in some cases than the cards in the packs.
Well, and they used to also sell repair kits, which a lot of people use to make fake cards.
It's a repair kit.
Well, I remember in Collector's Hide, a store called Collector's Hideaway in Alaska, and they had the backing of the Japanese cards and the American cards for Pokemon, and I was like, man, this is so cool. And you could literally reprint the face of the card, and they were just designed so if like you had damaged your card, you could mask it right back on there, and your card would be repaired and look like a new card again. And nope, everybody started taking those and printing. You know, they're like, well, I can't buy a Charizard, so I'll just make one. Take these, take those backings, and they'd make a card with it, and it looked like an authentic card. And it was, I was like, and then I realized, oh, they don't sell those anymore, do they? Many people them out.
It's like, remember that show Pawn Stars? They had that guy that had all those Pete Rose baseball cards. It was like, he's like, if these cards aren't real, I'm gonna have to evaluate my entire collection.
Baseball signed by Pete Rose. It says, "Sorry, I bet on baseball."
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, it should have one where he's wearing the chicken outfit. Anyway.
Goodness.
Like Attitude Era wrestling. Anyway. So like, it was funny because the guy's on the show and he's like, he had like five or six of these identical Pete Rose cards, and they were like in immaculate condition. They weren't dog-eared anything, and the borders were like perfectly cut and everything. And Rick Harrison's like, I don't know, the problem is with these, they're a little too good. And it turns out they're fake authenticators coming, fake show. They come in and say, yeah, these are reproductions, these aren't. He's like, is my dog real? Is my dog real? Is my wife real? Like, they... He's like, just because it's old doesn't mean it's valuable. You know, it's just funny because even though the show is fake, some of the stuff on there was funny because they'd get like people with these cards, it's comic books too. I mean, you know, they're like stuff they already had in the shop, but they want to bring these people in to like showcase it as a personal. Oh, I found this from a guy in the street for an arm. He said he didn't want it anymore. So yeah. Oh, Amazing Fantasy number 15. You just got this guy thing from a guy with a hook for an arm on Vegas. Yeah, I don't think so. Or whatever cockamamie story they come up with. Or I got a trunk full of Sammy Davis Jr.'s taped VHS copies of 8 Great Hours of Andy off the Superstation. These have to be worth something. Sammy Davis Jr. went ahead and taped all these. No.
Well, it was like, I had a, I was at Bookman's, which is one of the places I like to go and buy the toys at. I found a Motley Crue, their first album. And I looked at it and I'm like, oh my God, it's their first album. It's an original. And it said, but the difference was, is it said copyright 1986 on the back.
Second printing. Yeah.
It was a second printing. And I was I go up there and I'm like, oh man, I got like the coolest thing in the world. And I go in and I get it looked at. And there was a guy I worked with who actually used to be the tour bus driver for Motley Crue. And he looked at it and he goes, oh, that's a second print. And I go, what do you mean? He goes, the original cover actually had, you know, a couple different, you know, Vince had to actually repose for the picture for the cover of the album, mm-hmm. which they look almost identical because, you know, they have those people who go, okay, this is how that was. We need to get that belt. We need to do this. And he goes, only people that really have worked with them before will kind of can spot the differences on there.
Sure.
I was like, man, I thought I was holding a $600 album that I bought for $4. And he goes, well, if you feel any better, it is worth $35.
Sure. Yeah. You know what? It's funny too because it seems like I'm not an expert on. Well, I'm assuming it was a vinyl, right?
Yeah, it was vinyl.
Yeah. So it seems like for a while there, anything vinyl was worth all this money in like the early 2000s. Like that same album would be like $150 on eBay when it was a yard sale. And a good friend of mine, he used to play drums with me, and we got a lot of garage jams to listen to. He moved away, but before he moved away, he was selling vinyls on eBay in like 2003. And I can't remember what he had, but he was selling stuff for hundreds of dollars per album. And it just exploded. I don't remember which ones he had, but they were like 80s like heavy metal stuff. Like it was like Slayer's first album, or it was stuff that's like got a super hardcore following, and now it seems like vinyls really aren't worth a whole.
Well, now every superstar is making a vinyl too now.
Yeah, because they're back in production. Yeah, you can go to like a Freddy's or a department store and find a section of vinyls there.
My brother also ran into the same thing too, because he found this pink vinyl cover of the Beatles. It was like one of the only times they've ever printed, like, it was a pink vinyl cover. And he thought he had the winner, because they said that only came out with like 300 copies ever made of that one. And he's like, yes, yes, yes. And what he didn't realize is that the copy that he had was actually, it was covered. It was, somebody had made this thing to look like it for, and it was designed for, I think, a theatrical play or something, something to do with the Beatles apparently, but it was a production kit. And it was not, it was definitely not original. And you can definitely tell when the vinyl, and he thought the vinyl record originally just didn't work because it had been warped. No, sure. The vinyl record, when a guy looked at it, he goes, no, that record is just, it never had anything recorded on it. It was just there for looks. And my brother goes, well, how do you know? And he goes, because it's rubber.
Nice.
Whoops.
Well, you sometimes find these, you find those cool stores, like I found that place where I got you those boxes of comics, which I think had
stuff in there.
Came back, I went to a store and found boxes of comic books and Perfect Sleeve, and I'm like, there's got to be at least something in here that's going to be a winner. Yeah. Well,
even if they weren't, and I still got to send you your doubles that you had in there, some doubles. Suicide Squad, all those Suicide Squad ones.
Yeah.
The 80s stuff, it's awesome.
And I always go in there and you find something that you think is just a home run. Like, you're like, oh my gosh, these people don't know what they got. And then it turns out, yes, they did.
Yeah.
Knew they had a reproduction or something like that. And you just, and over the years, I collect reproductions. I still keep them just because it's unique. Because even reproductions aren't out there anymore. Of some of the stuff, they might not be worth it, but they're definitely worth it to a collector. Cause if you can't, I'm not going to go spend $1 million to have something like, I was listening to Props to History, the Death Star model. The Death Star model got, when they ordered, Lucasfilms kept everything and put it in a storage locker. And when they kind of go, okay, we're not going to need this stuff anymore, they got rid of it all, and the Death Star got sent to a bar. And it was used as a trash can for years. The only thing that was missing was the disc piece to where the laser beam was. And it was literally used as a trash can. And this big collector guy, I forget his name.
He's in Seattle. He's actually in Seattle.
Yeah. The guy he has millions of dollars of collectibles.
But he actually added onto his house in Seattle. It's like a museum. Like, he's got uniforms from like the production crew and stuff.
He knew about it, that it was at the bar. The bar was closing, so he goes down there and goes, I would like to buy your trash can, sir. And this guy goes, okay, you can have it. So he takes the trash can, he gets somebody to refinish it, and he has half the Death Star right there, an original production model. I do love the guy from Props to History, because you get to find out some of the cool stuff, like the dinosaur in The New Hope where C-3PO's walking around. That dinosaur was actually left the bones, the little skeleton bone thing in the background. That dinosaur bones was actually just left there from another movie. They left it, never picked it up. So they go, and then when they actually left, they go, oh, well, this dinosaur must actually belong to the Star Wars guys. Let's give it to them. And they just, put it and gave it to them. So I always thought that stuff was always pretty fun, because it's always interesting to see where that stuff is. But like a guy like me, I don't have the money to buy some of that stuff. Once somebody recognizes it and refurbishes it, I can't buy it, because I don't have hundreds of thousands of dollars. But if I can find like a reproduction model that they made between, 96 and 99 for a reproduction of a 77 model, I'll still take that. I'll still take it.
Yeah, I was going to look up the guy's name, because I've got a picture of it, because I had sent this Star Wars, the original Death Star picture. It's on a documentary called Plastic Crack, and you have to purchase the series, but it's worth the $11 that it is or whatever. And I'm not one of those people that misses on a good pro because I'm too cheap to pay $11 for something. But some of these guys on this documentary got ridiculous. Like, there's these two guys that, and this is, we're going to wrap this up here. I want to just close it out with this. they have this box, and inside this box, they have these original Indiana Jones Hasbro Kenner figures, right, from the late 70s. And they're like, I think it's a real box. It's got, the tape is not disturbed, it's yellow. I mean, the box has age to it. It's like, just open the box. Go get a knife or rip it open with your bare hands and just open it up. And they broke it up to where there's like four or five segments of like 12 seconds a piece where they're like, yeah, you see this, Patrick? I really do think this is an original box. And I'm like, my wife and I are watching this, like, oh my gosh, just open the box. I just want to reach in that TV and rip it open myself.
I hate those intros because it's like, and then it's like the last 2 seconds of it shows you what it is and then it's over and you're like, I wasted 20 minutes just to see two.
They
seconds.
Did not show us what was in the box. They said to be continued and they never continued the show.
Bait and switch.
Yeah. And I'm like, you know what? I don't care what's in the box anymore. Okay. If someone took a dump in the box in 1978 and sealed it with original factory tape, I wouldn't matter to me. But these are the guys. These are the guys right here. I'm like, you guys got to get a friggin' life, okay? They're friggin' toys, okay? Well, it's not like they found King Tutankhamun's, or like the Staff of Ra or something, or whatever, some relic from Egypt. They're friggin' Kenner toys. Who cares?
Well, and to be fair, you know, if they were really all that worried about it, nowadays what we use to find the stuff inside if we got a box like that, that we're like, oh, is this from 1978? Is it originally sealed? Oh, I better be careful with this tape. You know, no, what we would do is we would take it to an x-ray machine, x-ray the sucker. And if you can't afford to take it to an x-ray machine, here's what you do. You take it to the airport, send it through TSA. They'll get you a good image of what's inside the box. take it out of there. You know, like,
that's a great idea.
You know, like I saw this, like I brought this World War II bomb mug back from Ireland, and watching the imagery going through the x-ray machine was absolutely hilarious and worth the joke. Actually, I just kind of forgot I had it, and then they'd go, okay, just travel without it outside. But if we got a box like that, that's exactly what we would do. We wouldn't go try to do 50 guesses. We would actually take it, x-ray it, and if it's got the imagery of what we actually thought would be contents of the box, then they would make a decision whether or not to open it or not. So you could kind of tell that they're just doing it for the theatrics. They're not actually, yeah, wow. I would, if I went to that bar, I would have just stole it. I just straight up would have done it.
Here, I'll give you a proper garbage can. Let me take this off your hand. It's junk anyway.
Exactly.
Here's an example of my stairwell, which obviously people listening will never be able to see, but it's really funny. Let me see. I'll show you this. I'll start it over. Watch this. You'll see my stairwell. Here's a, if you guys can see that. Did you see what I have standing up in there?
What year is this from?
3 months ago.
3 months.
I was like, no, not even that long. Maybe 3 weeks ago.
I was almost like, I was like, staircase. Is this the house I lost the title to my car in?
My daughter wanted a New Day WWE Masters figure. It's like a unit.
Man, I found this awesome new YouTube channel that just has absolute amazing stories of WWE. I've just been obsessed with it lately. How professional some of those guys were, like, you know, how cautious they were of their surroundings, like CM Punk, you know, when he was going to lose a match, but he knew before he got thrown, the championship belt was standing under their feet, so he kicked it off to the side before they got thrown, so that they
were
doing it. And I was just like, and then it's like the accidental wins. I was watching like one of the Diva matches. She tackles the person and ends up throwing herself outside the ring on an elimination challenge. Oh. And I was like, man, these videos are, you know, as it cuts to the chase, I don't have to listen to the storyline of what brought it up. So it's very entertaining to watch these amazing moments on there. So yeah, I've been obsessed with that.
Nice. Well, I think that's going to do it, folks. We're clocking in at 100, an hour, 27 minutes.
So much for an hour episode.
Right. So we've been kind of all over the map, but I think we covered a lot of territory, but it's all good. It's all fun. And I always have a blast talking with you guys. So do you guys have anything else to add before we check out of here?
Butts suck.
Kill all right, well, at least you're... Is it a wing nut that you've got from Turtles in your hand, Kyle?
That's honestly, that's what I was going to ask you since we're talking about toys.
Oh,
was...
that's from the movie. That's from the that's from Turtles 2, right?
I think so. I have no idea. I was
here, honest... put it back up there. Let me see it.
I was hoping one of you guys knew.
He's a boss in the Turtles in Time game, but
there should be a that looks like a Playmates figure. If you flip it over, it should say Playmates, like maybe 1990, 91.
Oh, you know what? It's on it. You were right on the year, and it is Playmates.
Nice.
I was looking like earlier. I was looking at the Skywalker because I know the year is stamped on him somewhere, and I knew it was on his foot. Yeah,
that there's a 1996, I believe, on this on that Skywalker figure.
And on this guy, I was like, I was looking all the way around it, and it's on his butt.
Yeah. Yeah, that's when the movie came out. Yeah,
I wouldn't have figured it was on his butt. So
because they had the movie version of Slash on there.
I figured it was Ninja Turtles. I just didn't know which one it was.
Yeah.
So I've been playing around it all night, hoping that maybe we get into a Ninja Turtles comment about toys, and I could ask.
Yeah, I'm not a Turtles collector, but I know a lot about the line just because around that time, Playmates was doing Toxic Avenger. They were doing Skeleton Warriors. They were doing the Turtles stuff, and then Turtles started to turn into, well, we're going to do the movie figures now because we've already done the basic line, what we started with, the Foot Soldiers and the Turtles and Shredder, Bebop, those guys. They started to get into more of the enhanced rubberized heads from, like, Turtles 3, which was a horror movie. I didn't like it very much. It kind of sucked. But I liked the original Turtles, and Turtles 2 was... So, anyway, that's a separate episode, and I would like to just kind of... send us out here. Check out Hope This Finds You Well. That's a great show. Check out the McSauce Podcast, Fireside Chat. All those great podcasts can be found on your various streaming services. Your podcast services, Apple Music, the like. They got great Twitter accounts and Facebook accounts, all that stuff. So check those guys out. And thank you guys. Thank you, Kyle and Ponch, for being on the show tonight. And we will be cranking out lots more. I'll have lots more to share after the Spokane Inland Toy Show Classic. So that's going to do it, folks. And you all stay safe and enjoy the rest of your weekend. Have a good one.